Once again, welcome to St. Monica's. We're glad that you're here. Many of you are here visiting and on vacation. Our rectory has had a revolving door with all the guests that we've had, the visiting priest and Father Tim beginning to move his stuff out and Father Jim beginning to move his stuff in. I just had a chance to briefly say hello to Monsignor before he left for Africa with the group from our parish that is on their way to Nairobi, to a little suburb of Nairobi where they will be meeting Holy Cross Parish there. Father Willie and I have been the last 2 weeks in Portland, Oregon. Willie and I are members of a religious order called the Congregation of Holy Cross, and we have both had been elected to be delegates to what's called a chapter. At a chapter, we have one every 3 years, and we elect leadership, and we kind of decide together what the course of our life will be. One of the great advantages of being in a religious community is you get to elect your leadership, and they have terms. And so it was a wonderful experience. At this meeting, there were people young to old. The oldest was 90, the youngest was about 25, from all over the United States, from Peru and Chile and Mexico, and from East Africa and Ghana, and really all over the world there were people. And we come and we try to talk about things that are really important. A lot of it is administrative stuff and structures, but it all points to a fact that really became clear again this year when we gathered, and that is that the church is just changing. There's so much percolating around the world and so much percolating in Christianity. Part of it was we had some social scientists do studies of the church and present them to us, especially the places where we minister. And in Holy Cross and in the church, by the year 2025, we will have half to one-third of the priests that we have right now. And so that's going to change a lot of things. In Holy Cross, we're looking at how do we be in communities when there's half of us, half the numbers that we have now? There's a huge shift of the kind of the focus of Christianity being sort of a Eurocentric Christianity based in Europe, United States, to being a Christianity that more and more has the face of Latin America and more has the face of Africa and Asia, and what all that will mean as we come and we truly have a world Christianity and not just a European Christianity. Some very exciting things, and at the same time, some very big challenges. And it's also clear that there's some things that everyone will have to let go of and some things that we'll have to embrace. We live in in-between times. John the Baptist was a patron saint of in-between times. John the Baptist is considered the last of the Old Testament prophets. And if you look at his lineage, his parents were Elizabeth and Zechariah. And we know from the Gospel of Luke that Zechariah was a temple priest. He was part of the old priesthood of the Old Testament. In fact, Zechariah was doing his duties as a priest in the temple when he found out that Elizabeth was going to have a child in her old age. So John the Baptist, being part of that family, would have been in a priestly family, and so would have been a temple priest. That's what would have been expected. That would have been part of his training. He was seeped in the Old Testament tradition, and yet, as an in-between figure, he pointed. He was the first of the New Testament prophets to point to Christ. We have that great story of Mary when she's expecting Jesus, going to visit Elizabeth, who's expecting John the Baptist, and John the Baptist leaped in her womb. John the Baptist was the first to recognize the power and the life-changing force that Christ would be in the world. And he stayed at that his whole life. He must have been a powerfully charismatic person. He went out to the desert, so people came to him. He didn't go to them. He wasn't the type that went to downtown Jerusalem and holding signs. He wasn't the type that confronted people there. They came to him. So people were attracted to the prophecy that he gave. And what he said was very interesting for those people living in between times, those people that knew that something was happening that was going to change their world. The first thing that John the Baptist really said was to the people then is, you really got to get a handle on your relationship with God. And you really have to be honest about those things that get in the way of a good relationship with God, with others, and with yourself. And the language that we use in our tradition for that is that we need to repent. We need to name our sin and repent of those things that get in the way of the good and the love and the hope that God has for us in the future that's coming. The second thing that he said to people when they came to visit him in the desert was, do good from where you are. It's very interesting. There's three examples they give. He said to the Pharisees, who he was not shy about scolding, was not shy about admonishing, he said to the Pharisees, make sure that you bear fruit. You can't just be standing there telling everybody what to do. You have to make sure that you bear fruit through your ministry in the temple and bear fruit through your study of the law. There were tax collectors who came in. He said to them, he didn't say to them, quit. You shouldn't be doing that at all, which would have been a legitimate thing for a Jewish person at that time to say of a tax collector who collected money for an occupying Roman army. He said, be fair. Only tax according to the rate. Don't take money beyond. And then he said to Roman soldiers, even soldiers came to him, Roman soldiers, centurions, and asked them what they should do. And he said, don't bully people and don't extort money. Be good where you are. Be good in the place that you are. And the third thing that he said over and over is be ready. Be ready when the moment comes to embrace the good that's unfolding. Be ready when the moment comes to embrace the truth, embrace the love, and follow the one that we know is coming, and follow the way that where we all know is emerging. And he would be the first to say, and we even say it in Mass, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him. And he consistently, humbly, when he could have had kept the crowd to himself, could have kept the groupies to himself, said, follow him. He was a great person for those middle times. We're in the middle of a lot of stuff. We're in a little middle of a lot of stuff in our church. We're in the middle of a lot of stuff with our economy. We're in the middle of a lot of stuff with our culture. Look at the movies that have come out the last two summers. So many of the films that come out have apocalyptic themes where the world is about to be destroyed, or there's big, huge cataclysms that are happening in the universe. Those kinds of themes emerge in literature when a people is in between, when a people knows that something else is coming. And I think for many people, there's a sense that there's something coming, and there's fear in that, because of what will have to be let go of, and hope in that for what can be embraced. And for us, in between times, John's wisdom is so pertinent. First, that we really try to be honest about what gets in the way of our life with God, that we start with the person in the mirror. It's so easy to say, if only they would think differently, or if only they would do differently, if only they would change, when the kind of change we all long for starts with each one of us. So we look and say, what gets in the way of true, loving, authentic relationship with God, with others, and with our true self? And what do we mean by true self? The saints use that term to mean that part of ourselves that is most authentically who we are, the part of ourselves that we're most proud of, it kind of emerges in times when we do things that we really think capture a spirit of our personality. The times when we feel most at peace. Sometimes it can be in the midst of struggle, but still we feel at the most at peace because we're being authentic and acting out of integrity. What are the things that keep us from God, others, and our true self? And the second thing is, what can we do from where we are? There's lots of things that we might be called to on a grand scale, and those are important. And if those come along, we have to embrace them. But it's also important to make sure that we are living Christ's charity, that we're living the Spirit's love and the Spirit's openness and the Spirit's hope in whatever job we have, in whatever neighborhood we live in, at whatever age of life we are. And that leads to the third thing: we need to be open. Something's coming, something wonderful. It will mean letting go of a lot of things. It will mean embracing some new things. But if we trust in the Spirit and if we trust in God's love, it will emerge. We live in between times in the church. I mean, it took 400 years to really understand what Nicaea meant, the Council of Nicaea. It took about 250 to 300 years to really understand what Trent meant. We're 50 years after Vatican II, and oh, I hope it doesn't take 300 years. But we're trying to figure out what this openness of the Spirit, this sense of universal holiness, this sense of universal call to service means. And we're in the midst of trying to live that and figure that out in a church that's changing so quickly. May God bless you, and may God bless each one of us as we strive to truly be open to the ways the Spirit is at work as middle people, that we hold on to the best of what the tradition has prepared us, but take that and look toward a future that's filled with the best of what God will send.